Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, may I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn in your Bible this morning with me to Colossians chapter 2? I appreciate you watching. I hope it's a blessing unto you. We've been talking to you about the preaching of the cross. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And he said, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Well, if the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation, but if it's foolishness to them that believe not, then there's got to be something very unique about the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is not just preaching Jesus Christ as the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say unto thee that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And of course the reference there, the rock there, is Jesus Christ himself. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's the testimony that he is the Christ. He is the foundation. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed, I buildeth thereupon, for the foundation no man laid, and that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now think about it. If I put back here and I say, right here represents the ministry of Jesus Christ, and say that Jesus Christ is crucified here. This right here is that foundation. It's the testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said in Acts chapter 2 that God raised him from the dead to sit on David's throne. In other words, this foundation here is the idea and the belief that Jesus is God's beloved Son, having been virgin born. And that this Son of God, even though crucified by wicked hands, God raised him from the dead to sit on David's throne. The idea being that Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven. But Jesus Christ is going to come again. And according to Revelation chapter 20, at that time, Satan will be chained in the bottomless pit. He will be shut up, a seal put upon him, so that he can deceive the nations no more, until the 1,000 years are finished. For 1,000 years then, Christ, the Son of God, the crucified, resurrected, virgin-born Son of God, will reign. And during that time, Gentiles will come to God through the nation Israel. Christ will reign over Israel. In other words, Christ will reign, and then there will be 12 thrones. There'll be 12 thrones. The 12 apostles will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And during that time, Gentiles will come to God through the belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they will not walk by faith. They will walk by sight. They will be able to see him, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. So they will see him. They will believe in him as Peter, James, and John believed in him back here, as those in here believed in him. The foundation. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then Paul was saved in Acts 9. The Lord appeared brighter, the Bible said, than the noonday sun, and the message of grace came down, and the Apostle Paul was saved. And at that point there, somewhere after that, Paul said, I laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. If Paul laid that foundation, then it wasn't there before Acts 9. If Paul laid that foundation, it wasn't there until Paul was saved. Paul said, I laid the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul later on said, I have not built upon another man's foundation. Well, I know then that the Apostle Paul did not preach the gospel that Peter preached as a means of salvation. Paul laid the foundation. What is the foundation that the Apostle Paul laid? It's Jesus Christ died for your sins. It's the preaching of the cross, the power of God. Peter preached Jesus Christ raised from the dead, the power of God. Paul preached Jesus Christ crucified, the power of God. Peter preached Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand, David's throne, the power of God. And therefore, men could be saved in the kingdom through that medium. Paul preached Jesus Christ crucified by wicked hands, the power of God. Paul preached Jesus Christ died for your sins. Peter preached, you by wicked hands have taken and slain the Son of God. He preached a murder indictment against Israel. He blamed Israel for killing their Messiah. Paul said, we glory in the cross. We glory in the fact that he died. Peter did not glory in the fact that he died. Peter said, you crucified him. You with wicked hands have slain him, but God hath raised him up. Now therefore repent, and so forth and so on. So the foundations cannot be the same if you believe words mean what they say. So Paul said, I laid the foundation. Now this foundation has to do with the cross of Christ. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that just believing that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God and just trusting that he's the virgin-born Son of God is not trusting the cross. I have witnessed to people, hundreds of them, and say unto them, are you saved? And had them to say, yes, I'm saved. And I say, well, how did you get saved? And had them to say, well, I'm trusting Jesus Christ. And I say, well, can you tell me about the cross? Why did Jesus die on a cross? And I've had them to say, well, he died for the world. Yeah, but why on a cross? And they would not know. They did not understand why the cross. They understood about Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God. They understand about Jesus, the King of Israel. They understand about Jesus Christ reigning eternally and all those things. But not the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Why the cross? The cross is for criminals. Jesus died the death of a criminal. Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. Our sins were put upon him. Our crimes were put to his charge. And he died for our crimes. And by his death at Calvary, we're saved if we trust that. But you know something? Those that come to the cross for salvation are those that see themselves as criminals. Those that will trust Christ are those that see themselves in jeopardy, just like a drowning man. A drowning man would not believe he was drowning if he believed he could swim. But you throw something to a drowning man, He doesn't stop and consider it. He doesn't turn it over in his mind and say, you know something, I think there's a possibility that sooner or later this keeps going the way it is, I may drown. Oh, no. You throw that drowning man something and he'll hang on to it. Any individual that will believe they're lost, doomed, and damned and going to fall off into hell, any individuals that has the fear of God and the damnation of eternal damnation, the damnation of the fires of hell and the wrath of God, an individual that sees themselves as impure, sees themselves as a sinner, a vile sinner before God, that individual won't have trouble believing in the cross. But any individual that can't see the cross, any individual that can't see Jesus Christ as a criminal at Calvary, will never believe that they're bad people. They'll always believe they're good people, like the illustration that Jesus Christ used when he said the two men went up in the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee prayed, blessed with himself, and said, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, on and on and on. And said, I'm glad I'm not like that publican. But Jesus said that publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus Christ said that man went away justified rather than the other. That publican saw himself for the bad person that he really is. Can you see yourself as the bad person that you really are? Can you see yourself as a criminal with your crimes having been committed against God? The Bible said the transgression of the law is sin. Do you see yourself as a sinner? If you can see yourself as a sinner and worthy of eternal damnation, a lot of people say, well, I'm a sinner, but I don't believe I'm worthy to go to hell. I've had people, I talk to them about the salvation, I say, you believe that you'd go to heaven if you die? They say, well, no, not really. I said, why? And they said, well, I wouldn't be worthy to go to heaven. I said, okay, do you believe you're going to fall off in hell? They said, oh, no, definitely not. And I said, well, why not? And they say, well, hey, come on. I may not be worthy to go to heaven, but I'm sure not bad enough to go to hell. Well, bless your soul, there is no place between them in death. When you die, you either go up to be the Lord as a child of God, or if you're not a child of God, you fall off into hell. There is no intermediate state between damnation and glory. We're talking about the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They do not understand the preaching of the cross. Why? Because they don't understand they're bad. They don't understand they're a sinner. They don't understand the holiness and the righteousness of Almighty God. Without righteousness, you can't enter into what God is. What is righteousness? It's that which is straight. It's that which is pure. So you've got to be straight. You've got to be pure. How can you be pure? Well, you can't be pure within yourself. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Now look in Colossians chapter 2. And in Colossians 2 verse 10, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Please notice now, you're complete in him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, let's just say that that's you. Here you are out here. Alright, all your sins were counted to Christ if you will believe in him as your Lord and Savior. If you'll trust him as your Lord and Savior, God knew that at that point you would, and so therefore your sins were imputed unto Christ, and Christ suffered, bled, and died for your sins. The Bible said that God made him to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin became our sin. Alright, so here's the thing. He became the embodiment of your sins. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now to be reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you on and on and on. Notice the body of his flesh. In other words, the body of his flesh. And I'll say here is the body of his flesh at Calvary. Became sin for you. So that the body of the sins of your flesh might be dealt with at that point. In Colossians chapter 2, and in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in whom also you circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, the body, let's just say, here's the body of the sins of your flesh. In other words, all your sins of the flesh. There they are. The body of the sins of your flesh was dealt with at Calvary, and Jesus Christ died for that body of the sins of your flesh. That body of the sins of your flesh are all of your sins, past, present, and future. It's every sin that you could ever commit in the flesh. And so Christ became the embodiment of the sins of your flesh at Calvary, and God judged your sins at Calvary. The wages of sin is death, and so Christ died for your sins. And so what happened? God cut Christ loose from the body of the sins of your flesh. He circumcised him with a circumcision made without hands and cut him loose from that body of flesh at Calvary. And so Jesus Christ came out of that body of the sins of your flesh and descended into the lower parts of the earth. He was circumcised at Calvary with the circumcision made without hands. The embodiment of the sin, all the sins of your flesh, the body of the sins of your flesh, were his at Calvary, and God cut him free from your sins with death. And in death, he left his body and descended into the lower parts of the earth. Therefore, what happened at Calvary is put to your account. Therefore, we that believe in him as our Lord and Savior are circumcised with that circumcision that was made at Calvary. Now notice in the next verse, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. It's amazing to me how that an individual will go from the spirituality of the circumcision and believe that they're circumcised with the circumcision performed at Calvary till they get their next verse. And they shift there and make water baptism be in verse 12. Buried with him, they say, in water baptism, hurrying on and on. No, no, no. There is no switch. We were buried with him in the baptism of death at Calvary. Jesus Christ was overwhelmed in death. Jesus Christ was immersed in a death that is your death at Calvary. And so that baptism, just as that circumcision, that baptism is put to your account as you believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior. In other words, you died at Calvary and was buried and rose again. Look at the next verse, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now think about it. If all of your sins were dealt with at Calvary, and if Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins at Calvary, then the sins that are still in the future were paid for with his death at Calvary. If he paid for your sins, if God Almighty judged your sins at Calvary, and all your sins were dealt with before you were ever born, if God Almighty judged your sins and Christ paid for your sins before you ever even committed them, then all of them have been judged and all of them have been paid for, and therefore God forgave them in AD 33. Therefore, you don't need to beg God to forgive you of your sins. They are included in the package of believing in Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been crucified, buried, risen. You have been forgiven of all your trespasses, and so you claim that along with your salvation. Now notice the next verse, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. In other words, the law then brought the death at Calvary, so to speak. The Bible said that sin is the transgression of the law. The Bible said, by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And I find in Romans chapter 5 that by one man, Adam, by one man, one act of disobedience, all were made sinners. So by the one man, Jesus, one act of obedience, all that believe on him are made righteous. But he said about the sins back there. He said the law was added that sin might abound. In other words, God gave the law so you could see your sins. God gave the law so that your sins would be magnified. Now, the law then was dealt with at Calvary. Sin is the transgression of the law. If Jesus Christ died for all your sins, and if all your sins as a Christian are paid for and forgiven, the law hath no dominion over you. So the law was removed at Calvary. The law was taken out of the way by the cross, so that we that are saved by grace through faith are not under the law. We walk it by faith. We live in grace. And grace is not law, and law is not grace. I'm talking about the preaching of the cross. Turn in your Bible, please, to Galatians chapter 2. And in Galatians chapter 2, notice in verse 19, Galatians 2:19, Paul said, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ." Now, notice Paul is saying then that I was there in A.D. 33, in that I was identified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. When Christ was crucified, I was crucified. May I challenge you to accept that position? Could I challenge you to, in your mind's eye, see that when Jesus Christ was crucified, you were crucified? The Bible said in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Why don't you right now just say it? I am crucified. Why don't you do it? I am crucified. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Reckon the truth that when Christ was crucified, he was crucified in your behalf. Therefore, you as a believer were crucified. So Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." In other words, even though this old nature of mine, even though this old flesh of mine, even though this old person that I am by nature was crucified at Calvary, I still live. I'm still alive physically. I'm dead judicially. Judicially, I was judged and put to death at Calvary. But physically, I'm still alive. I'm crucified, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Colossians chapter 1 said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." So the crucified, buried, and risen Christ lives in me. I have the Spirit of Christ in me. I am crucified, even though physically I'm still alive. Sinfully, I'm still alive, but Christ lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, I still walk around inside a body of flesh. This body of flesh is sinful flesh. And the Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Your flesh is never going to get into where God Almighty is. When the rapture comes, our vile bodies are going to be changed. You've got to some way get out of that body and still live. You've got to have some method of living without that physical, sinful body that you walk around in today. The answer to that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Life is in the finished work of Christ. Therefore, we're crucified with Christ. Not was, are. People talk to me about, well, I crucify the flesh every day. No, you don't. If you ever crucified the flesh, then it was dead. You don't crucify that which has been crucified. You don't kill that which has been killed. If there is a dead horse laying on the ground, let's just say he's standing there and you shoot him between the eyes. Bingo, and he's dead. Well, you can keep on shooting him if you want to, but you can't kill him anymore. Why? He died the first time you shot him. He's dead like dead, and you can't kill him anymore. You can take a baseball bat and hit him in the head. You can hit him with an axe. You can cut him to pieces, but you can't kill him again. When you killed him, he's dead. I am crucified with Christ. I do not die every day. I am crucified with Christ. One crucifixion did it eternally. It doesn't need to be done again. It doesn't need to be done tomorrow and the next day. I am crucified. That crucifixion was taken care of by Christ at Calvary. God judged the body of the sins of my flesh at Calvary, found me guilty, put me to death at Calvary, and that death is put to my account today. I am saved by grace through faith. Beloved, that's the preaching of the cross. Jesus Christ died for the criminal that I am. He died for the crimes that I've committed against God, and he paid for them there. They're paid for, and they'll never be brought into judgment again. Will you receive him right now? Will you claim him now? Will you believe in him right now and claim the truth? Establish it in your mind and your heart right now. I'm crucified with Christ. Thank you for listening. Until next time, good day.